Hi everyone, and welcome back to Sinead Says Podcast, episode 2. This one is a bit more professional because I have a professional microphone this time. So I just want to say welcome back and thank you for listening. Today on the show, we have Annette Kelly, also known as Little Penny Thoughts on Instagram, but don't call her Penny because she doesn't like that. So her name is Annette, and she is going to, well, she's a good friend of mine. It's weird because we've actually got each other through some crazy things, and we only knew each other like a day, and like we were going through some things. So we've been through some shit and we've came out really good friends, which is amazing. And we were just talking on the phone. I was like, oh my God, we need to do a podcast about this. So firstly, I just want to introduce her. Hello, Annette.
Hello, Sinead. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. I actually made an effort today. I thought I'm going to get up and get prepped for the day. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to being a guest on your podcast.
Oh, I know, episode 2. So basically, we have to do it. So tell us a bit about yourself.
My name is Annette Kelly, and I suppose my online platform would be Little Penny Thoughts, which started in 2015. It started very off the cuff. There was no real agenda behind it. All I wanted to do was to help people with the power of words and quotes. And yeah, we're still going strong in 2021 here. And now it's become a big part of my life. It's my job, it's my brand, and it's something that I'm very proud of because I love the community that I built online. And it comes with its challenges, yes, but there's more pros than cons. And I suppose being on social media has taught me so much about life and about myself. But more importantly, this year, it's taught me so much about what really matters. And that's just sometimes, I'm rambling here. So you can totally ramble. You can cut that, can't you?
No. No, we're interested. We're here now. We're here for it.
Yep. So it's just taught me a lot about maybe what I want in life and what matters.
Yeah. So topic of the day today, there's a lot of topics going on today, but because we were announced last night that we were in another full lockdown, schools closed a lot. It feels like deja vu from March. We're in a worldwide pandemic at the minute. We're at a high peak in Ireland and UK. So we are fully in lockdown once again. And people are really struggling. Now, the questions in the question box that people asked were, what is the coping strategies for stress? And tips to get through this bloody lockdown, because yeah. You know what? I think it's going to be tough, but yeah. We have done it before. Mm-hmm. And I think we can do it again. Like, I'm fully in my higher self right now because I've kind of went January 4th, right? I joined like online fitness and I was just like, right, get up, get my workout done, get my yoga in. Today was the first time I did everything. I did a workout, I did yoga, and I did meditation. And I'm not telling anyone to do that. I'm just saying, like, it was the first time that I hit my higher self in about 2 months. And I have to say that I fucking missed myself. Yeah. I actually missed my own thoughts. I feel like I've been distracting myself with my phone, TikTok, with Jack. And like, you know, I haven't even like sat with myself for so long. And like, I think what we need to understand is there is so much to explore inside our brains, inside our minds. And today I got to like fully see that. So I feel like we need to just sometimes be by ourselves.
Well, that's very true. I spend a lot of my time alone currently, and it works for me. But I also like miss my friends, you know, seeing them in person, and obviously family members like that. And the first lockdown, it really made me realize the importance of having people around you, but it also made me realize the importance of enjoying your own company as well. I refuse to let the word, like the word lockdown or pandemic, put fear in me, because mm-hmm. I surrender to it. I don't really accept what's going on. I think it's when you think too much about it, it is bizarre. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, but it is happening, and we have no control over it. So I I surrender. I say, you know what, this is happening now, but it can't and won't always be like this. So we have to roll with the punches. And I was very much at the start going against the grain. I was saying, I miss that. I can't do this. This isn't the same. And I was reluctant to, I was resisting change. And now the more I have adapted to change, I'm rolling with a wee bit more. I'm not saying that's easy, but I'm saying it's working for my well-being. And I encourage anyone that's struggling at the minute to try and just step back and focus on your own inner world without getting caught up in the chaos of the outer world. And your outer world, you know, can be viewed through the media, such as social media, the news, Twitter, you name it. There can be so many things that we can absorb, even WhatsApp group chats. I don't know about you, but I can't cope with them. if someone's going to put in something that's going to generate fear within the group, and that's, they don't even mean to do it, they're just sharing information. But at the start, I found that very unhelpful for me, and I kind of just step back from that, and I don't engage in maybe things that, you know, create fear or chaos within my world. Because, you know, we talk about, not to sound cheesy, but, you know, inner peace, inner contentment. Mm. You talk about your higher self. You know, there was a stage there where I was in a frenzy, you know, probably the first part of the year. But now I'm kind of more coming into my own zone and focusing on my own grass and realizing, well, what can I do? There's lots of things beyond my control, but what can I control? And there's lots you can control.
Oh, yeah. I think that as well. I think, you know, we were fully concentrating on like what we can't do. We can't go out with friends, can't go out for dinner. But like, I'm really trying to fill my brain up with gratitude and see what I can do. Like, I can go deeper into my spiritual practice. I can read. I can, you know, people are like, oh, I can't see my boyfriend. And I'm just like, you have a boyfriend that you can talk and have virtual dates with. Like, you know, we need to concentrate on what's good. And I think
the absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Especially because they can't go out. People are like, how do you deal with blah, 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 Jack being away or whatever? And I'm like, the cub can't go out. They can't go out. So I was like, if he was going out, we would have a problem. Like, I'd be like, oh my God, who are you with? What are you doing? I mean, I would say those thoughts to myself probably, but like, you know, I was like, you know, I'm quite lucky that, like, you know, the start of our relationship, like, he couldn't go out, you know, like, even, but.
That's very interesting. Do you think, due to the current circumstances in the world, that you and Jack's relationship got a really good start? Away from the noise, away from the.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because we don't even really fight. Like, we had one fight about liking photos, but that was it. And then I didn't feel the way I felt with other relationships. I just felt like completely different. I just felt like this really good connection. And the fact that he could not go out probably did help my triggers from my last relationship. And I feel like I'm unlearning a lot of things that I learned in the past. I'm unlearning a lot of things with Jack. Like, you know, I take a step back if I feel triggered and I'm like, okay, he didn't actually mean that, or blah, blah, blah. So I definitely think we had an advantage. And I feel like obviously it wouldn't have happened if we were in lockdown. Mm-hmm. Oh, not at all. Like, I wouldn't have been here for this long. I kissed him before, actually. So it doesn't really.
Yeah.
So I always, like, I had like a bit of lust for him, like, as well. So I think lust just turned into love. So
that's lovely. I don't know what I have at the minute. I don't know the emotions of love at the minute. It's all very confusing.
Actually, yeah, we can talk about. So Annette is very famous for her Tinder tales on her Instagram. So when she does her Tinder tales, we all get a cup of tea and we listen to everyone's crazy Tinder tales. Yeah. So first of all,
there's fairy tales too, but there's some heart warmers, but then the best crack ones are the ones that have just went, you know. Not
the stuff. So I want to know. So people wanted to know your Tinder tales, but I think first of all, we're going to talk about our Tinder tales. But first of all, I want you to tell us the most fucking fucked up Tinder tale.
Well, let me see. there's a lot. So there is, and obviously everything's anonymous. There's a few crude ones that I'll not. I just can't. I wouldn't be able to verbalize it because I could barely read it, never mind say it. But I think I think a lot of the ones that I'm just looking at my phone here, going back over them, because there was literally hundreds and hundreds. Sometimes when I put up a question, you do get good engagement, but this, everyone seemed to have like a story. Mm-hmm. And I loved it because like, no matter what age you are, you could be online dating. And sometimes it's a bit of a taboo. There's people don't really talk about it, but I want to kind of normalize the conversation around dating.
There's no other option right now. Tinder is the only way, except I don't use Tinder. I use Tinge.
There's Tinder. There's what else?
Hinge.
There's...
I was on Raya, which is like an elite app, which like you have to be accepted. I was in that one.
You need the blue tick for that, Sinead, so we're not in that club.
Oh, I know, but you want to see the people on it, like, and you're not allowed to disclose, but you're like, whoa, what the fuck? And like, I screenshotted one, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's him. And then they were like, if you screenshot one more time, you're going to be kicked out of the app. And I was like, okay, sorry.
Oh, so you're trying to, you have to
keep, so you're not allowed to like disclose any information.
Bumble as well is another one. So like, kind of the Tinder tales cover like a vast array of apps, and even like through Slide and the DMs, things like that. But the ones that probably shocked me the most was the maybe cheating, like, you know, right, like hooking up with a sister and like, you know, hooking up them with the other sister or something like that there. And they'd be telling me this, I'm like, I you know, I can say your name. They know, people know that they're not, they're anonymous to someone else, but not anonymous to me. And I'm like, no. Like, do you know what I mean?
Cheating, like going with one sister, then going with other.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, I don't know, and things like that. And then a lot of like brothers and things like that. So I noticed that was a theme throughout a lot of the Tinder tales. Another one was like, this is the one made me laugh so much about like the first date was going really well, and I think he was very gentlemanly and all. And then she went back to her car and he went back to his van, but he flung open the doors of his van and there was a full bed set on the back of the van, like asking her,
no way,
did she want to come in? But the funny thing is about that, Sinead, is that that message was sent to me multiple times by different women. So there's a serial Tinder on the loop.
No way.
The van, and you know, so be careful. Get into
God, that is so creepy. I can't cope.
It is creepy. And then when I start, and some of the stories actually shocked me, that I said, you know, maybe you should report that. Like, I have a
dream. Oh, really?
Maybe some of them just, I don't know, like maybe a bit of dodgy behavior. But once again, this is someone's story. And whether it's true or not, you know, and I'd never let the truth get in the way of a true story. You know, I don't want to be putting up stuff that's not true and things like that. I don't want to keep it lighthearted and good crack. But a lot of it is just about how people just do not gel well together, you know, and whether they're just not in the same level of, you know, conversation, or maybe their expectations failed. I think my ultimate, the most messed up one that I got was in the very, very first Tinder tale story. Thing I did was that two people both catfished each other. So you know what catfished is? You're not pretending you're someone else, but they both did it to each other. So,
well, they deserve each other then?
They do. So together? Like that's messed up. Pretending you're like, they both pretended that they weren't who they're meant to be.
You know what that story reminded me of when you said about the van? I actually, like, if anyone doesn't know, for a long time I drove a transit van, and I've been driving the transit van for all my life that I've ever known. And then I became a blogger, like, you know, when I was away, came back to Ireland and was like, oh my God, I've got all these followers and they're going to see me driving a van. So I was like, but anyway, I didn't care. Anyway, I was just like A to B, and got into that glam van and drove it for how long, wherever. I'm not driving the van anymore. But I actually showed up to a date in the van. In the fucking Moran Valley guttering van. Sorry, plugging my dad's business.
Yes, shameful plug.
I know. I pulled up to the Tire Restaurant Noma and got into his car and like went for a walk in Loch McCrory. Imagine, like, and I didn't give one fuck.
That's class. No, fair play. But your glam van, Sinead, was kitted out. I was in that van.
It's not kitted out, don't lie. It's...
No. I mean, kitted out as in you had a wee holy statue.
Oh, the holy statue. St. Peter, I think.
To me, that's kitted out. You know, if I have a wee, you know, St. Christopher travel safe or something like that there, that means it's kitted out, I'm safe. I keep it in the pictures here. So that glam van was protecting you, like.
Right, now I want to know what your Tinder tale is. Come on. I know a few of your Tinder tales, and so you better tell me a juicy one.
A Tinder tale? What if he's listening?
Who? gives a fuck. He was there. He knows.
He knows. Let me see.
He knows what happened. Sure, you don't have to disclose names. It's anonymous.
Let me see. Can we come back to this? I'll have a good thing.
I've got a few Tinder tales anyway. I've only had a few Tinder dates because I don't know. It's funny, like, because I think about even my age range, and my age range wasn't even Jack, so I wouldn't even have seen him on Tinder or Hinge or anything. But
I know you talk a lot about like age gaps. Do you think like age is only a number, or what's the crack?
Yeah, this is actually something that people kept asking me in your question box. They were like, how do we, because someone was saying they were 20 and he was 24, and like a lot of people feel like they shouldn't be in those relationships because of the judgment of other people. And I just think, are you making a decision for you? Are you making a decision for other people? You are not on this earth to please other people. If you feel a connection with somebody, then that's what you go with. You go with the connection, and you have to ask yourself every day. I ask this about ego every day. I'm like, are you making that, like with jobs, with whatever, their life, travel? And I'm like, who's making the decision? You or the judgment of others? So when you're like making a decision to please others, that is to please your ego. That is your ego boost. You need that validation from others that you're doing the right thing. And I'm telling you now, we all came on this earth with a unique strike, and we need to make our own decisions in life. Like, if we were all the same, we would all be like, you know what I mean? It's silly.
In regards to the whole dating younger people, why is it okay for men, you know, to date a younger woman? But sometimes when it's a woman, there's more, like, I don't know, there's more judgment around it. You know, I know you joke about cougar and all that crack, and it's banter, and you can take it because you accept it. You find a connection there, and 4 years is nothing. But I know people, like women that are in a relationship maybe with men 10 years younger, and they're so happy, but they're also very afraid of the judgment of what other people say, and sometimes it can get in the way of a wonderful relationship. So do you think within reason age is only a number, you know, when you're legal and everything like that, and when you're older, when you get to a certain age, it's all about compatibility, you know, personalities, connections, having fun. Like, I'm all about, if you're dating someone or in a relationship with someone, there has to be that fun and that sense of like being a team, but yet you are your own person.
Yeah. And you know, if you know there's a connection, like, fuck everyone else. Like, it's just how it works. And even I try to convince myself at the start, is he so young? Like, we have nothing in common. Like, he's in uni. I'm like, I'm an entrepreneur. I was like, oh my God, like, blah, blah, blah. But like, I just could not deny the connection. Like, I couldn't deny like the chemistry. And I was just like, and I've been out with someone before that had exactly the compatibility, like, you know, people that would want me to see him with him, and like there was just something missing. And then like I just found that with Jack. So I just feel like if you have the connection, stop worrying about what other people think. I know it's hard, but it will bring you on your whole judgmental detox. That's why I tell people to hug trees. Remember Midge, you hug
remember
a tree?
That time we went to Fermanagh?
Yes.
Hug trees. I felt extremely uncomfortable, but it felt good. Like,
right. Let me tell you the whole point of hugging trees. The hugging trees, people might think like, oh, it's like, you know, a tree hugger. And I'm like, no, I hug trees to get rid of my ego, right? So hugging a tree and somebody walks past, right? And they look at you, like they literally look at you like you are crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then when it happens, the fear of them thinking you're crazy is not as bad. Like, they walk on by and you get on with your day and you've done something. And I'm just like, It for me, it just like gets rid of everything, because sometimes I'm afraid to say things, like, you know, on my Instagram, maybe I want to talk about something really intimate or about sex or about like relationships, and then I'm scared of what people would say.
I do admire that about you, Sinead, from the very early days when I started following you and I didn't know you. It's like, and you know, you were just so out there and you said whatever, and you said what a lot of young girls maybe think, but they would never put it online out of the fear and judgment. And what I do, a message I do want to get across today is, what other people think of you is none of your business.
None.
Because at the end of the day, the right people, I care about what my friends and family think of me, you know, the people that love me and know me and support me. But the likes of other people that don't know you, a lot of strangers that are just passing judgment, you know, that's their perception, and that's okay. But I refuse to listen. And if we all listened to what other people thought of us, we wouldn't do nothing. Way to avoid criticism is to say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. And it's the people that maybe put themselves out there. And it is, it's, you know, I know you've been, you've got a lot of trolling online, but it hasn't deterred you from doing what you, you feel as if is your purpose.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of strength from within, especially in days where you don't feel like it and you do feel vulnerable.
Yeah. I know. And like, to touch on that, I think sometimes the biggest judgment comes from those closest to us, and that is the biggest thing to get by. Like, I'll never forget my mom and dad when I was like, no, I'm just gonna live in Magaluf forever. Like, I was just like, I'm just gonna work in this bar forever, and then get back here, get your degree, get a good job and live in da da da. And I was just like, I mean, I felt so much shame for years and years and years. And that's something that I had to break through. And I broke through all that. And like, you know, my mom works for me.
Well, you know.
So you have to just shut it out. Yeah. Like, something I'll say about the other day, Jack put up this story. So we were at Gorton Glens and everyone's like, where's that to Jack, you know, in his masters? And he was like, hey guys, just let, he didn't say that, but he just says, everyone was asking, but we're in Gorton Glens. And all his friends really made fun of him for being like, who do you think you are? You're a blogger, blah, blah, blah. And he took it down. And I was like, babe, this is where it begins. This is when you have to break through the judgments. I'm like, you could be, they could be working for you if you actually continued this. Do you know what I mean? But it is something that I dealt with at the start of like blogging, and I'll never forget it. So I was like, I was doing like my fitness and my PT or whatever, and I was like helping people, you know, lose weight. I was doing like nutritional stuff, and I was like speaking on my story for like the first few times, and you know, I really loved it. I loved the feedback that I got from everyone. It really drove me. Like, I loved helping people. And I'll never forget, I walked into work, I think I was living in Liverpool at the time, and they didn't know I was standing there, and they were all mocking me. And I'll never forget the feeling. And I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. So I stopped speaking on Instagram. And I just stopped for like 6 months. And then I got, like, I moved away. And then I got into myself again and like started feeling it again. And I was like, I'm going to come on again. And I just think, like, if I would have listened to other people's judgment of me, and like, you know, I was like, I needed to please them. I needed their validation. So I needed to shut up. And I had to break through that. And just like every single person listening to this now, like, you need to break through the judgment little bit by little bit, such small little things.
And sometimes, Sinead, the judgment can be for your own good. You'll say, if it's your parents, because I have a very similar situation. I'm not Magaluf. I wasn't as out there as you, but no, I trained to be a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, I was teaching, and I loved it. It was a good steady, you know, job. Miss Kelly, that was my identity. And, you know, especially my mother was very proud of this, you know, that I was a teacher. However, when I realised that teaching isn't for me, and I wanted to maybe branch out, oh, no, you can't leave teaching, what a waste, you know.
Yeah, because it's a secure job. This is what I wanted to touch on with you, how to leave a secure job to follow your dreams.
Well, you know, I'm an example of that, because teaching, there is an element of security. I know people say there's no jobs, but if you want to teach, you can teach. There's plenty of avenues in teaching, believe it or not, and that's just my opinion. But however, when I realised that I love the element of pastoral care within pupils, helping children and young teens with their well-being, I knew that teaching English wasn't for me. It wasn't me. It's not that I didn't care about their grade. I cared more about their mental health and well-being, and that's when I realised that that's what I want to branch into and make something of, you know, Little Penny Thoughts as a company. Because it started as a Facebook page in 2015, but only started as a company in 2017-18, you know, properly with my sister. But when I branched out and actually left teaching, probably about 2 years ago, probably a year and a half ago, I broke from subbing. There was that fear of not having enough income. But my whole thing was, if I had enough to live off, I'm happy. You know, I'm not into materialistic things. I don't live a big flashy lifestyle. I enjoy the simple things in life. But you need an income to enjoy life, you know. And if you're not, you know, you'll not get it by lying in your bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to let that fear of the steady, not having a steady income come over me. And just every month opportunities came. I worked hard on product production, and I just kept myself busy by doing something that I loved. And it is true. It's a cliche, but it is true. When you find something you love, you never work a day in your life. And even though I work every single day, and I put in more hours than I ever did in teaching, I don't feel drained. I don't feel anxious. I feel free because I'm doing it for me. And I believe that my pain led me to my purpose. Yes. And I'm fulfilling my passion. And if I can send a message to anyone today that's thinking of maybe leaving the security of their job, I won't say to them, yeah, go do it now. This maybe isn't the time, but think of like a side hustle. Think of something that you can train in the evening times. There is so many online courses at the minute. You don't have to even leave the comfort of your room to do. Upskill yourself and then think of a plan to slowly but surely branch out. Mm-hmm. And slowly yet steady. People do it, wing it, and you know, cut all ties, and that works for them. But for me, it was tapering off and thinking, you know,
it depends what your values are too. Like, if I'm like coaching someone, or like I can tell, like I'll get their value. So for me, my top value was always freedom. But for some people, security, they need to know they have money in the bank, or they have money coming in to continue to fulfill their dreams. Whilst I was like, I am cutting the fucking ships right now. I can't walk to work anymore, miserable. So I just cut the ships and was like, okay, because I was so skint before, and being skint just learns you that like you're actually grand, like you're grand without that money in the bank, you know. So I cut the fucking ships. Like I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to live on like a fiver a week. And then that's how I did it. And then like I slowly, gradually was making more money, and I was like, well, I'm living in my purpose. I've cut another amount of ships this month as well, because I'm actually stopping all the like sort of brand ambassador influence and stuff. Did I tell you that?
I'd love to talk about that. I know we had a phone call conversation about how you're trying to develop your own brand, but you've loved supporting other brands in the past, but now you want it to be maybe more authentic to yourself in terms of content.
Yeah, I'm just ready to like do stuff for me and do things just really naturally to me rather than like real plugged. So I'm taking on that as well, which is also like losing a lot of money for me.
Yeah. And even like the likes of, I know the power of influencer marketing. You know, it's not something to be sniffed at, as you said. There's a lot of potential in that. But to any young girls that maybe are considering blogging, Sinead, or considering maybe going down that route, that are interested in working with brands, what would your advice be?
Oh, okay. So this is a kind of touchy one with me, because right now it's not like it was before. There's a lot of negativity out there. Like people really can't understand it sometimes. But if someone writes to me and they say, can you shout out my little sister's page? I'm like, what age is she? 18? No, I will not shout an 18-year-old, because they're not ready for the negativity to come their way. Like their brains haven't developed enough to understand that other people have their own hatred and their own pain that they sometimes projected on you. So maybe a bit older. And like, if I know someone's really headstrong, I'll be like, you know, share and stuff like that. Yeah. Because there is a lot of negativity online, as we both know. No, we don't look at it anymore, but you know, when it first came out, we both looked at it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just don't know if you have to be mentally ready. I would say read a lot. Mm-hmm. Laws of Human Nature is probably the best book to deal with any sort of negativity, because you can literally find out what goes on in every human's brain. So if someone's giving you negativity, you're like, oh, they're this, and that's why they do that. So
with the likes of you know, say someone, you're promoting a product or whatever, and you get a bit of backlash. At the end of the day, this was your income, and also you were supporting a brand, helping to build a brand. But people don't see that. People see it as, you know, sell out. Even sometimes if I put up something that I totally paid for myself, it's like, you didn't declare that as an ad or gift. I'm like, do you want to see my receipt? I think it's hard to be attacked. It's hard to be, you know, totally transparent all the time. Like, do you have to say all the time that I paid for this, or I didn't pay for that, or whatever. Yeah. So you're right, something about the authenticity that you kind of want to be more free in your content. Yeah.
But I think like if anyone's going to start blogging, first of all, it's a great way to be remote working.
Yeah.
As you have to be true to yourself. Don't take on any lad. Like I've turned down some crazy shit. Sometimes people are
What's the craziest thing you've turned down? And I'll tell you my craziest thing.
One second, guys. I just need to take a breath. Is anyone else feeling overwhelmed, struggling to find a moment of peace in the chaos of work, relationships, and personal challenges? I know exactly how that feels. And like you, I've been on a journey lately to find balance, to reconnect with myself. I've learned that taking time for ourselves isn't just a luxury, it's essential. And it starts with a moment of a pause, a deep breath, and a space where we can find rest and rejuvenation. And that is why I am super excited to invite you to join the Brave Way membership, a place for your mind and spirit to have a break. Imagine having access to guided meditations that not only help you sleep better, but also empower you with the energy to face your day with confidence and calm. Our journey together goes beyond just meditation. It's about diving deep into self-discovery, finding gratitude in the small things, and unlocking the potential within us. With a huge library of meditations to begin, live calls and workshops, you'll have all the tools and support to explore, grow, and transform. I understand that some aspects of meditation can be challenging, but you're not alone. Our community is here to guide and support you through every step. Whether you're navigating the complexities of relationships, manifesting, or seeking deeper insights into your thoughts and emotions, the Brave Way is here for you. So if you're ready to embrace a life of greater peace, purpose, and connection, let's embark on this beautiful journey together. Visit thebraveway.co to start your transformation. And because you're a valued listener of our podcast, use the code BRAVEPODCAST for an exclusive discount on your first 3 months. Only available this week. Remember, the path to a braver, more resilient you starts with a single step. I'm here to walk that path with you. See you on the inside, and let's make today the beginning of your bravest journey yet.
4,500 pounds for one picture.
What?
Of me drinking a certain drink.
Right.
I was just like, no, that's just too, that's not for me.
Was it alcoholic or not?
No. And I also turned down alcoholic stuff as well, just because I don't want to promote, although I drink all the time.
Yes.
But I turned down alcohol.
To keep your brand clean. And what are your, like, so you like own like a range of companies, and not everyone knows this. You're not just Sinead Haigh, the influencer. You own Shine Online. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Shine Online, Brave.
Brave Retreat.
Saigal.
Saigal.
And then like obviously the influencing as well.
That's amazing.
There's a lot of things. Like Saigal's more like on everything's online. And then Brave Retreats is obviously, well, there's Brave as well. Brave as a whole. Like I would do online stuff as well for that, but Brave Retreats is in the physical.
Yeah, but
it's probably the least amount of money as well, like the least amount of profit. But it's probably the most purposeful. But obviously I can't do it right now.
Do you remember I was meant to come out to Thailand?
Like you were, I was employing you, that's right.
I was at a very fixed mindset in that stage of will I go, will I not, I don't know, see now, and if everything was open and clear, I have now this more appreciation for travel. Like I cannot wait to travel, because travel isn't just for the pictures or for the sun, it's for the connections and the memories that you make. Like, and I do miss that, and now I'm going to be definitely, when things down the line open up a wee bit more, I'm going to enjoy traveling.
Yeah, you know what? I think the pandemic, right? I'm going to ask this question. Yeah. What is the thing that you've learned from the pandemic? Like, what is it that you're going to, like, is it going to be travel? Is that what you're...
Yeah, travel. Like, my 2020 goal, I know you're a big advocate for saying your goal out loud, and I did it last year. In January, I came on, I says, look, say I'm a goal out loud here, I want to speak internationally. Mm-hmm. And even though I did speak internationally over Zoom and conferences, I wanted to be on that plane. I wanted to be plane hopping to different countries, speaking at different conferences, meeting different people from different walks of life. Now, that didn't happen, but I visualize that I hope it does happen, that I can go and, you know, share my story, connect with other people and keep learning. I believe we're all each other's greatest resource, but I'm very, very proud Irish woman. I love my culture, but I also love learning about other cultures and other ways of going on and connecting with people that are so, like, in a totally different path from me, but you can learn so much from each other.
Yeah, I love that. You can speak at my manifesting event It's called, it's literally a festival for mindfulness. Like, I've literally, I don't know where or when it's going to happen, but it's called Brave Fest. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like speakers, like loads of motivational people, like in a big festival and like music after. Like, I just have it in my head. I'm just like, this is going to be like, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's already going to happen because I've manifested it.
That's that unreal.
And like, the universe is just delaying me because I'm not prepared yet. That's what I said about Australia as well. It was like, everyone's like, are you not really annoyed? And I was like, the universe is delaying me because I'm not fully prepared to go back.
Well, that's it. And obviously, you know, you've so much going for you at home as well, you know, which is amazing. The likes of, you said there, one thing that what the pandemic has taught me, it's not just about what I miss, it's reminding about what I have. And I just, I'm so grateful for the amazing friends and family I have, because we've all got each other through it. You know, some of us have the really good months, really bad months. Even like just the importance of connection has been really, really drummed home to me this year, because I was in a bit of a rabbit wheel or hamster wheel beforehand, just round and round, busy, busy, busy. But when that was taken from me and I had to stop and reevaluate things, it was uncomfortable because I felt lost and out of purpose. But you pivot, you rewire your brain and you go again. And like, allow, if someone's feeling unmotivated at the minute, dissatisfied with their life and just feeling totally crap, stick with it and be uncomfortable and try to realize why is this and why does this maybe keep happening, and then try and make small changes and get the support, the professional support and help that you need. For me, Sinead, and I've said this before, I think I've said it in every podcast I've done, was when I was battling with anxiety and depression, it was cognitive behavior therapy that actually got me through it and that taught me skills for life, so I'll not go back to anxious and that again, you know. Or if I do, I can pull out the skills to get through it. I know you're a big advocate for making therapy cool, like, you know.
Yes, I love therapy. I just don't understand why not everyone wants a therapist. I'm just obsessed with like going in and being like, this happened to me this week, and she's like, well, if you, and I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
But even like, it's finding the right therapist.
It's hard. I'm so lucky with mine, you see. So
same as that.
Find me.
Definitely. So yeah, make therapy cool. I love that too. And like, you've Sinead, in your own way, you have normalized conversation on your platform around lots of things that people don't talk about. Like, even I'm only finding my voice online now. I don't think 2 years ago I would have done Tinder tales, because it wasn't very Little Penny-esque. It wasn't a quote.
Yeah. But you're showing your personality. Your authenticness is just like shining through.
Yeah.
And you are a crack. You are like, if I would describe you, if somebody says, what's Annette like? I'm like, oh, just crack. Like,
I love the crack. I love the crack. And I found my voice, and you know, you'll not be everyone's cup of tea. I'm holding a cup of tea up here, but you know, not everybody likes tea, and that's okay. But I'll never understand how people don't like tea, even though this is drinking. Are you a coffee drinker?
Oh, coffee, tea. I have like 5 cups of tea a day, and coffee, like only 1 cup in the morning. That's it, and that's it. Yeah,
try to like do like lemon and.
Oh, I do everything. I'm like tea, cherry, green tea, chamomile. I'm all about the tea. Like,
I put up a post recently, Sinead, that created a lot of conversation. It was called Doing It For The Gram.
Yeah.
And I used to do a lot of things for the gram or social media, even back in the Bebo days. Like, I was everything. I used to tag myself everywhere and anywhere, and not really for me, just for other people. Even when I was at a concert, I can't wait to go to a concert now and not even take out my phone and actually just observe it. I used to video all the concerts. No one gives a monkey's about it. Like, I think a lot of it to me is learning, yes, be present on the gram, but don't like lose out and being present in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And obviously when you're growing a brand and growing your business, you have to have an element of being present online, but it can't take away being present in the real world.
Mm.
How do you strike that balance? Because it's something that I'm learning myself.
I have a few different things I want to touch on with that. So I will talk about doing it for the gram. First of all, when I first started blogging, you know, obviously when you first start, like, you don't get paid for years. So you're blogging, but yet you need to work. So I was working in a bar, and like, I would never show that I worked in a bar. I just wouldn't show what I was just like, no. Like I was just showing like where I was, like nice pill bars and like nice bars, and like I wasn't saying like what I was doing. And then I was like, this was the point where I was in the really dark place. I don't like to call it depression. I like to call it the dark place. Okay. And, you know, I was just putting on this front, and I'll never forget, like, the bravest thing I've ever done is ask for help. I'm not even joking at that time. And I just, like, I reached out. And, like, I was being fake for ages. And then, like, I just was like, and then, like, see when I got off the phone to that person that I first spilled to, like, how it felt. Like trying to explain how you feel whenever you're living the dream life that everyone thinks that you're living is just, was just
like,
it was
bizarre. Like bikini pictures, lifestyle, like in Sinead's living the dream here.
And like, you know what? I was in complete denial as well. Like I was in denial. And see, once I accepted what I had felt, I was like, okay, now it's time to take action. I was about, I must have been 24, 25, 24, yeah. 25 at the stage. And it was probably my lowest point. Like I could never sleep. I just broke. Like I was just broken. That's how I can describe it. But I'll never forget, like since the day that I like asked for help, I'm not even joking. Like it's all been up from there. Like, you know, obviously I get anxious, but I bring it back with the tools. But I just got anxious, didn't know how to deal with that, didn't know the tools, let all the automatic negative thoughts infest my brain to the point where it was just like, okay, like, you know, breaking point. So that once I was like, I went on Instagram and I was like, fuck this. I am actually down. I'm so down. I'm like, I need help and I need to like bring myself back up. So that's what I did. Like I literally fought every day with like two different people in my head. And then once I like let go of that fakeness and like shone out with my true authenticness, yeah, that is when like people started to really listen and really like
understand, connect with you.
Yeah, just connect with me. And like, yeah, that was something that like I just became a real person at that point. And
because
I don't do it for the gram anymore.
That's it. And like, you know that obviously you're a very attractive girl, right? But you're more than your looks.
Well, thank you.
No. Well,
that's true. I'm going to close this blind because it's blinding me. Hold on.
That's grand.
But continue on with the...
I'll continue on. But yes, honestly, like, and I can remember you saying that to me, that you were judged a lot, you know, on your looks. And you may say, oh, poor Sinead judged on her looks. But that's a judgment. People taking you... And thinking you... Like this blonde, that's that whole blonde.
They were like, it's easy for you to do this because, like, you know, you're good looking or whatever. And I'm like, well, there's loads of like people like me that aren't in the place that I am. So it's not about that at all. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? And plus, I'm followed by 87% girls. So no boy is on there looking, I'm telling you.
I'm 97% women and 3% men, and it used to be 2% men, but Tinder deals, all of a sudden you know what, it's lovely chatting to some of the men about their stories, because like, and I'm not about boy bashing, I'm not about girl bashing, like these stories are simply just like crack and just normalizing the conversation. But yeah, you're definitely on the right path, Sinead, of what you're doing. And do you enjoy it?
Oh my God, it's the best thing ever. Like, see this podcast, I have been thinking about it in my meditation all morning. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to just have the crack and just have like my podcast and talk about it.
Huh? I was nervous at the start. When we're chatting on the phone, chat away and blah, blah, blah. But I feel very comfortable now at the start. Even that, see that conversation or that question, who am I? And who am I?
I know, it's so annoying. Like, who am I? Like,
who is anyone? And anyone can have their voice, anyone can share their voice, and you just don't know who you're impacting. You know, and sometimes it's the people that you never think that you do connect with. Like, even we're very different people.
I know.
We're so different.
Like, I'm like freaking out there. I'm like, sexist, and you're like, oh, Sinead. So I'm like, and then I bring it out to you as well. I bring it out to you. I'm like, come on, tell me, you know.
That's good. Even you were like, is there anything you don't want to talk about? I was like, I just, the S word, like, and that's me. Just that's
sex. The S word is sex. Catholic guilt in this podcast. It is sex.
But that's so, it's so healthy just to be, just to be yourself and be authentic.
You need to talk about it.
You do.
I'm just going to quickly talk about Catholic guilt before we finish up, because sex, right, is sometimes the reason why people's relationships, marriages shut down. Why? Because they don't know what they like. They use sex as a distance, as a weapon, as a tool. Like, what if we talked about it from day dot? What if we were like, what do you like? What do you not like? What if we just brought it out in the open? Then you would be able to talk about why you're not having sex, or you're in a sexless marriage and stuff like that. And you can be able to talk about it. And people are so afraid of talking about sex because of Catholic guilt. You know, we've always been like, oh, shut up. Like, she needs to shut up. My mom and dad would have been like this for years until I came back from my spiritual awakening and I was like, sex this, sex that. And like, we even had a funny conversation.
So not.
It brings you close together. It brings you, like, talking about sex brings you closer. Like, there's a connection. Like, I don't really talk about sex. Actually, me and my dad will have a bit of banter. He'll be like, oh, your mom. And I'll be like, well, me and Jack upstairs in your house. And me and dad would banter about it. And then the other day I was like, oh my God, I hope Jack's mom's not listening.
Oh, sweet above, I can't cope. I feel like Jack's mom right now. I feel like a parent, I deserve wriggling, but it's all good.
I was telling mom, I was like, so Jack's mom found a pair of knickers under the bed.
Oh, Sinead.
And I was telling my mom and they were like, Sinead. But then, like, after we were like really laughing about it, and then she was texting me when I was over in Jack's, she was like, didn't she say anything? And like, it's funny, it brings you close together and makes things
more come back. Were they the Bridget Jones's ones, or were they the nice ones?
I'm going really red, but no, I didn't get them back.
Oh, right. They were binned.
I don't know, but anyway, I know, but it brings, like, these things bring you close together, and it's good to, like, break the stigma. You don't have to talk about what positions you're in, like, with your fucking family, like, but, you know, to talk about these things, like, it's so funny when you bring it up, because you need to talk about it, because sometimes sex is the reason why relationships break down, and I think as well, some people don't know what they like because they don't want to talk about it. Do you tell your partner what you like? Do you know what you like?
Yes, but see, when you talk about, like, yes, be open and honest with your partner. However, when it comes to parents, I will never dynamic with my parents ever, and I don't want to. No way. It just makes me squirm, and I'm just not there yet. I'm very open and honest with my parents, but definitely it's something that probably won't exist in
take it to the deathbed.
Well, that's it. But at the end of the day, you know, everyone's dynamic of their relationship with their parents is different, but I do think it's very healthy that you're very honest with your parents, whatever, and you love the banter and the crap. But as you say, you keep her,
keep her classy. Yeah, there's certain places you're like, no, this is not appropriate, but I do try to bring it in.
It's a real thing. I know that's something that, you know, I'm very devout, I have good faith, but my faith is through action, how I treat people, how I speak to people, and it's probably like how I've been brought up. Like around our dinner table, no one's ever talked about, you know, daddy says, you know, if you've nothing nice to say, say nothing at all. And in regards, I take that with me because I'm not really into gossip or things like that. But in terms of Catholic guilt, there are certain behaviours that I would have had to unlearn because guilt's a real thing. But I think if you're a good person and you're doing your best in life, then, you know, you're not a sinner as such. And that's just my opinion. Religion's always a very, very controversial topic, but I think it's very personal to people and each to their own. And I think it's something that, you know, I'm all about faith and action, you know, doing things, being grateful, you know, saying thank you and doing random acts of kindness is my faith. And it's something that's private to me in terms of my religion as such, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So we're going to finish up, but we're going to finish with my favorite drinking game.
Oh, Sinead, I'm not fit.
It's not a drinking game, but this is a Sinead. Everyone's like, oh, Sinead, stop. Nobody likes being nice in Ireland. They're like, oh, Sinead, stop with the corny. So the first thing I always say is, I want you to tell me something you like about me. Tell me something you like about yourself.
Okay.
And tell me your goal for 2021.
Oh, that's a nice game.
A drinking game, and then you can take a shot usually, but...
Take a shot of my coffee.
Yeah.
So something I like about Sinead that I've mentioned beforehand is that you are very authentically yourself.
Thank you.
You're quite fearless in terms of other people's judgment of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're a go-getter, you're a doer. So I've been talking about doing a podcast for years and years and years, like just talking about it. I'm not actually doing it, but you actually take the step and do it through action. So I admire you for that. One thing I like about myself is that I'm very open-minded and non-judgmental. I try not to judge others, and that's a quality that I've learnt in recent years. And my goal for 2021 is to create more products with Little Penny Thoughts.
Amazing.
So that's amazing. What about you?
What I like about you is you are non-judgmental, and there's something so innocent about you that I just love to corrupt you. I just yeah. love it. I love to be like telling you the crack. And I just love that. I do love that you're non-judgmental as well. And of course the crack. And you're a great role model. And I love that you left the teaching job, because that a lot of people are just don't want to leave secure jobs. And teaching, some people are amazing teaching, like Jack's going to be a teacher, but Jack with children yeah. is like the best thing ever, and like he's meant to be working with children, like that's his meant to be. Yeah. Or if that doesn't work out, like he's going to work for he's going to be a famous Xboxer.
Anyway,
so like you can see that there's different personalities, and I'm glad that you did that.
Yeah.
What I like about myself is my ability, my thirst for knowledge. I constantly want to be learning new things. I constantly want to be reading. And I'm so happy that like that's something that I really enjoy, and I get so much reward out of reading because it helps others as well. It helps my followers and all. So, and then my goal for 2021 is, oh, every time it's different. 2021 would be obviously I want my own space. Like I want a house.
Yeah.
Maybe a villa in Bali, maybe an apartment in Australia. I don't know, but that's what I would really like, because I'm ready. I'm ready.
Want your own space, your own.
Yeah, space. I'm living at mom's here, like, so I'm like ready to go.
Yeah, so that you a place where you know you can keep your pants safe.
Yes, yes.
No one has to see your pants again.
Oh, okay. Wrap it up. Literally, wrap it up. So thank you for coming on, Annette.
I just love this. It's very refreshing and a different type of podcast that I've ever done. You always push me out of my comfort zone.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get eaten. I want to turn off this record button, don't I? Okay, so thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.